Good afternoon, everyone, and welcome to the Lifestyle CEO Show. I'm your host, Donna Maria, the original Lifestyle CEO and America's business lifestyle coach, and I'm here to empower you to break all the rules, build your own corporate ladder, and create the life you love. Today's show is sponsored by the Handmade Beauty Network. Mass market beauty products just don't hold a candle to the independently made products infused with a high proportion of natural ingredients. I invite you to visit handmadebeauty.com today and click on our member directory to find the independent cosmetics companies that make products just for you in your area. You know, yesterday's New York Times contains an article called Keeping Customer Service Jobs at Home in the USA. And it pointed out that there are about 130,000 home-based customer service agents in the United States, and that that is expected to swell to over 300,000 just in the next 4 years. I found that very interesting, and it's obviously a response, American companies' response, to the fact that family and work life today are really, really stressed, and women in particular, parents in particular, and women even more in particular, are finding it more and more difficult to juggle everything associated with home management and business ownership. And so I applaud these kinds of companies who are taking advantage of this home-based talent to help their businesses grow and also give those parents an opportunity to be more available to their families. The other thing that article made me think about is another response to the sort of difficulties of managing home and business, and that is for parents to kind of take control of their own financial destinies and their own work-related destinies and create a business of their own. And, of course, that is what we are all here about at the Lifestyle CEO Show. And that brings me, of course, to today's guest, because how in the world can you create the financial lifestyle, the business lifestyle, the home lifestyle that you want, unless you have an understanding of how all those things work together? And one of the most important components of that is understanding money. What a huge issue, and there's not nearly enough conversation about it, and that's where today's show comes in. Our guest today is Mary Claire Alveen. She is a mom, wife, author, and the first female and youngest equity partner in the Chicago office of Brownson, Ramison, Foxworth, a group of financial and investment advisors. Mary Claire is a graduate of Princeton University and was awarded her MBA from the University of Chicago's Graduate School of Business. She is the author of a financial planning book for young couples, like me, I'm still young, entitled The Family CFO, published by Rodale in 2004. Mary Claire regularly writes financial planning articles for lots of national publications and is frequently quoted in the national media, and she sometimes takes a break from her busy schedule to appear on fantastic talk shows like this one. Welcome to the Lifestyle CEO Show, Mary Claire.
I'm so delighted to be here, Donna Maria.
Well, I'm really excited to have you, and there's so many topics to touch on. Of course, when it comes to financial matters, today's show, of course, is going to focus largely on the issues associated with couples who want to go into business together. But before we get into that, Mary Claire, I know you're a wife, you're a mom, you're a partner at a company, you're an author, you do some freelance writing, you have a 2-year-old child, and you have one on the way. So I know one question that all my listeners are going to want to ask for you is, how do you successfully integrate all these things? Tell us in 60 seconds.
In 60 seconds. Well, that's about all the time folks who are embracing the kind of challenges I've taken on have, right?
That's about it. That's right.
That's right. But, you know, staying very focused, I don't do a thing I don't love. And I think that that's the most crucial, and right there with that is the, you know, the person I most love, my husband, who is also fully on board with every decision we've made.
So, that does boil it down. I don't do anything that I don't love, that I don't want to do.
Yeah. Huh. It's actually liberating.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Learning how to say no to things that aren't the best for you.
You know, and I don't even have to learn. The things that were hard to say no to, the priorities, when they're clear, make it very easy to discern where my time has to go every day.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And so you have, in addition to having obviously acquired the educational background to advise people in terms of finances. You also live this lifestyle that your book describes. Is that right?
Well, and in fact, our book, The Family CFO, reveals a few of our personal secrets in that my husband and I were getting married, we went through all of the processes we describe there, and then I recount our own experiences as well as those of hundreds of couples that we met nationwide as we were preparing the book. We really were trying to create a financial book that was filled with stories, because I'm convinced that we all learn best through examples, role models, stories that we say, oh, I'm going to avoid that pitfall, or aha, that's how I can do this.
Right. It's great, as my mother used to say, to learn from your mistakes, but better to learn from someone else's.
I think only the wise men do that, but we do try. And at least it gives you a sense of comfort. You're not alone. In almost any financial question that comes up, millions of other couples have faced those same challenges.
Mm-hmm. Well, I want to read a quick quote from the book, and I found this very fascinating. I want to ask you a couple of questions about this. It says, we found in interviewing couples nationwide that most couples, regardless of how successful they are financially, professionally, are misinformed financially.
Yeah.
Couples argue about money but have never focused on the reality that money is just a tool for achieving the dreams that brought them together in the first place. Because they focus on money alone, they never solve their problem.
Yeah.
We all see the end result, delayed retirement, no savings for college, being trapped in homes that allow us no cash to spend elsewhere, fears and tensions from overwhelming debt, jobs we don't love that demand our presence and focus every day. Mary Claire, why do you think it is that people with, as you described, success professionally and maybe even more education than most, struggle in this area of finances so much?
Well, we have found that people are never trained well because they're not given good role models. And then we treat money in this society either as more taboo than sex and religion or politics,
mm-hmm.
Or we talk about it in the wrong way, where people are going to be willing to tell you money they made on buying some hot stock, but they very rarely mention their inability to get their 401k fully funded. We don't openly discuss these issues, and therefore we're lost, and we are looking around for the right way to do things. You don't have most people wanting to be in debt. You don't have people wanting not to be able to retire.
Mm-hmm.
The question is showing them how.
You know, it's so interesting that the answer that you just gave, and I know I don't want to focus too much on the problem because we want to get to some of the solutions, but obviously money is important, and everyone needs it regardless of your income level or what kind of work you do or don't do and how many people you live with and what kinds of things you decide to pursue. And I just find it fascinating that it has become such a taboo topic.
Yeah. In some sense, you would think, again, by turning on the news or opening the newspaper or hearing people talk, you'd think that people are very open about money, but they're not open about the essence of money, because I do think that money is very intimate. Money is a window into our goals, our values, our dreams, our fears. That's, in essence, the topics we don't want to cover in public. So we talk about, should you buy Microsoft? How much did you pay for that outfit? How much did you pay for your home? Those are superficial money topics that don't get to the essence that help couples, individuals, particularly those, Donna Maria, as you're talking about, who want to take that extraordinary step into being in business for themselves. Those are the exact people who've got to say, money is a tool. Money is the tool that would get me to be able to start that business, and ultimately it's the tool that comes out of the business that allows me to go back and lead my life.
Right, and it's crucial to understand the tool so that you can make it work for you. I know, Mary Claire, when I helped my parents a few years ago to, they really didn't need a lot of help, but when I was there sort of watching them, sort of overhaul their finances because they're getting along in age, and They wanted my brothers and I to have an understanding of where they stood and what to do and where the assets were. I was absolutely amazed at how well my parents had managed investments over the years. And it is so fascinating to me that they never said a word to me about it the entire time I was growing up. And I'm over 40 years old. Never talked to me about it, never gave me any examples of it. And I grew up, not really understanding how much my college tuition was and not really understanding some of these things. I mean, I knew money didn't grow on trees, and I knew my parents worked really hard, but I didn't realize the extent to which they had made money work for them and work for us as their children until, I had to figure it out on my own. I never really found out about that. And so what you're describing as people sort of treating it as this secret topic, I mean, I've lived through that.
Well, and you are actually very lucky, A, to have discovered, while you are young, how your parents did things. Mm-hmm. And secondly, that you've discovered that they did it in a way that empowered them.
Yes.
That you are not in that very frequent role of an adult trying to raise her own family who's also turning around and discovering that she's going to have to take care of her parents.
Mm-hmm.
I see this very, very frequently in my practice, less so in the couples that we were interviewing because we were talking about the couple's internal issues, but
it
is a growing demographic challenge in that the elderly people's lapses, where they didn't have anybody show them what to do 40 or 50 years ago, are going to turn around and going to fall into a baby boomer, a Generation X lap to solve.
Well, I got to tell you, that is one of my main motivations, and also Lifestyle CEO listeners and people that I work with, one of our main motivations is to not create that kind of situation so that our children can be free, to pursue their interests and their passions when they're in their 40s and 50s, and hopefully not be overly burdened with some of the issues that, we can take care of today. And, of course, that's a big struggle and a big challenge, and we're going to be talking about that as we continue throughout the show here. I want to remind everyone that you can call in your question or comment to Mary Claire. You can talk with her about any kind of financial question you have right here on the show. The toll-free number to call is 1-800-773-0355. And also want to let you guys know that today is my first Money Monday show. That's right. Because of people like Mary Claire and the circumstances that are going on in the world today, I just think it's so important that this show be used as a vehicle to educate people about money, people in general, but people more specifically who want to have their own businesses. So money is it, guys, on today's show, Money Monday, here November 6, 2006. You can call your questions or comments in, 800-773-0355. We'll be back with Mary Claire Alveen, and we're going to talk about couples starting businesses and managing money and staying together through it all. Making Love and Money today on the Lifestyle CEO Show. I'll be right back.
Why is everyone listening to GlobalTalkRadio.com? Because it's the future of talk radio. Every day, more and more people are finding internet radio as not just an alternative media, but as a replacement to traditional AM and FM broadcast stations. Internet radio offers a wider variety of programs, convenient on-demand listening that meets your schedule, and fewer commercial interruptions. And GlobalTalkRadio.com is already leading the way by matching this content with a highly targeted internet audience. GlobalTalkRadio.com offers its listeners one of the widest programming varieties on the internet, from business and finance to self-improvement, paranormal, health, literature, romance, politics, and more. There are also opportunities for prospective hosts who would like to host their own weekly or one-time talk shows. Want to learn more? Check us out at www.globaltalkradio.com and see the future of talk radio today.
Good afternoon, everyone, and welcome back to the Lifestyle CEO Show. I'm your host, Donna Maria, and we are here today with Mary Claire Alvine, wife, mom, and author of The Family CFO, The Couple's Business Plan for Love and Money. And you guys, I got to tell you, there are some other financial books out there, but this one is different for a variety of reasons. Number one, it hits me right in my heart because it concerns families, which is something that I have a passion for, empowering families, empowering women to help their families. And this book has a lot of real-life stories of couples who have made good decisions, bad decisions. It just runs the gamut, and so you can learn a whole lot from this. And one of the greatest things, we're going to talk to Mary Claire today about this book, is that no matter what decision you have to make, and of course today we're talking about starting a business, there are some specific steps that you can take to analyze how to make that decision and how to make it work for you and to keep it going in a positive direction. So Mary Claire, I want to talk about those steps. Maybe I'll start by just saying what the steps are, and maybe you can just elaborate on each one as we go, and then we'll talk about some examples. How's
exactly.
that sound?
That sounds perfect.
Okay, so here's the four steps, you guys. You might want to get your pen out. Number one, review your goals and priorities. Number two, isolate the decisions that need to be made. Number three, brainstorm and research. And number four, take a look at your cash flow forecast. And all of those things, I mean, Mary Claire, it's like a business plan on two pages.
Well, it is meant to be a business plan, and much of the book is meant to be a business plan of taking, you know, the business of your life and making sure that your money reflects it. You know, the first book you started there, Donna Maria, is the goal part. And
right.
I always emphasize to couples when we start to talk about money that the first thing we're going to do is not talk about money.
Okay.
That we really want with couples to remember why they came together. This is the romance in finance. There were a whole set of dreams you talked about before you got caught up in covering the mortgage and who's going to pick up the kids and the credit card bill's too big. You came together with a mission, a purpose, dreams. And getting back and putting those on paper and then making clear in your goals, which can be infinite, how they rank. This is the hardest part. You've got to be willing to talk about trade-offs, that starting a business may, for a time, take more priority over all the other goals that you have that also are crucial to you but are probably going to have to take a back seat, whether it's paying off debt or one of you leaving the workforce for a while, buying a home, whatever those other goals may be. If you want to start a business, you're going to have to be explicit that that is number one.
Mm-hmm. And do you find that couples have a hard time articulating this in some ways because one or both of them are going to have to give up some short-term satisfaction for the long-term results that they want?
I find that when you get couples to talk about those goals as the trade-off, the couples who are together for a reason quickly grasp the idea of trade-offs because it doesn't feel as much like a sacrifice when you're bringing your lunch to work. When you know that you're bringing it to work because the $5 or $10 you're going to spend on lunch is going to that first priority and that your partner shares that first priority. I think people feel disgruntled or deprived when they're the only one making a sacrifice or they feel that the sacrifice is not leading toward a particular goal.
Mm-hmm. And so all the more important to make sure you have an understanding. How important is it to actually write it down? Why is that important?
You know, I wish I'd understood human nature better, but the act of writing things down is incredibly powerful in terms of forcing our human selves to follow through. If you've put that commitment in writing, it's real. I also would say that it assures you that you and your partner are on the same page, that there wasn't some sort of misunderstanding when the refrigerator and the bathroom mirror and the dashboard of your car all list those same priorities in the same order. You gain a confidence that you're on the same page as your partner.
Mm-hmm. It's so interesting to talk about writing that sort of thing down because when we get married, we get a marriage license and it's written down, you know, your full name, your birthday, who you married to, you know, what date it happened on, and, you know, it gets put on file with the state authorities. And then you're kind of, you know, out there. You've got your marriage recorded, but you don't have, and you may have had a fantastic ceremony, too, a lot of cake and maybe a great honeymoon. But after that, it's like sometimes people are just kind of left to, you know, think that, gee, the only thing we have to do now is keep the romance going, keep the flame alive. But what you're describing is that, you know, bringing two people together is far more than just that. It's also setting goals and priorities that work for a lifetime. And changing them, I guess, when you have to.
Yeah, and I really would always emphasize not just that the goals exist out there, but that they exist in an order and accepting the trade-off, embracing the trade-off.
Now, what do you do, Mary Claire, if, let's say you've been married for a few years, you're experiencing financial difficulties with your spouse, and you have a business. You're the female in the marriage, and you have a business, and things are going, You know, it's hard to start a business, but all other things being equal, it's kind of going in the direction you want it to, and you're feeling some resistance from your spouse. Now, I know that's like resistance comes in different forms, but are there some things that the business owner in that relationship can do to kind of bring everything to the forefront where it all can be addressed?
You know, we really call this calling a board of directors meetings. You are a business owner, and let's treat it like a business. And I think sometimes the language, the style of business can help get us out of what can be emotional habits, bad habits sometimes in our communication or lack of communication with our life's partners.
Right, because if you have a business, you're basically running two businesses. You're running your home. And you're running your business.
Exactly.
And even if your spouse is not in the business, you've got to include that person because they're running the other business with you.
They sure are. And you need to really hit that head on. If you had a business and your business partner or your board of directors started seeming to not be in sync with your priorities, how you're spending not only your money but your time, you would quickly say, this sounds like we're not on the same page strategically. Let's talk about that.
Mm-hmm.
Talk about it. Pull out the time. Make the time.
Mm-hmm.
I always tell people speak best to each other over meals and in cars. Get in the car.
Meals are always good.
Have a meal.
If people are not on the same page, do you find that it helps to first make two separate goal and priority list, and then try and merge them together, or actually sit down and make it together? What do you recommend in general?
You know, we have this process that we recommend that involves a stack of index cards, and we have really found it to be the most effective way is that you take the stack and you divide it between the two of you. Half of you take each. Each of you takes a half the stack, and on each card, each of you writes down a goal, a priority, a worry financially, and then stack your cards top to bottom, from top priority to bottom priority.
Uh-huh.
And then this is the literal process of laying your cards on the table. Lay them out, explain each goal, priority, worry to your partner, then have your partner do it and listen. You don't speak until they're done listing out those priorities.
Uh-huh.
Then comes the exciting part. You need to merge those two stacks mm-hmm. into one stack, ranked top to bottom in a way that you agree. And this is not easy. I also would emphasize that this is the time you ought to argue. Because later on when we're going through the other steps in the family CFO process, everything is going to come back to finding your answers out of your values, your goals, your priorities. If you haven't spent the time talking about the real trade-offs and the front end, you're not going to be able to make the good decisions effectively through the rest of the process.
So for that person out there who's got that business and there's not sort of a meeting of the minds in terms of, and usually, at least when I talk with people, this manifests itself by, you know, typically it's the person with the business spending too much time on the business and not giving enough time to, you know, other things that are admittedly important. But does this kind of go back to your point earlier on that when you have a business, some other stuff is going to take a back seat for a while?
And it's a matter of timing. One of the stories, Donna Maria, I know you asked me to tell, was about a couple we interviewed over a series of years when we were preparing our book. And when we first met them, they fully embraced a decision that they had made jointly when they first got married, which was for the husband to pursue an entrepreneurial life and for the wife to maintain a paycheck job and the benefits for the family.
Okay.
Consisted of just the two of them at the time. And frankly, this was the mid to late 90s, and the idea of going with a startup, unpaid, working for equity, was not only thrilling, but you could make money at it, and you felt like you were really part of the aura of the era.
Mm-hmm.
And as we got to know this couple again, and on and off touching base with them throughout the years, they had other priorities that were on their list, but when we first met them, it was very clear what that one priority was, which was giving the husband this freedom to pursue these entrepreneurial options. And it turns out he went through a series of startups and was paid in equity and sometimes received some cash, but really not on any reliable basis, and certainly not anything that matched with their huge dreams. And later when we were talking with them, we started to see some tension. They actually started a family while the husband was still pursuing entrepreneurial activities. And their son was born, and their sense of cohesion and their embracing of his entrepreneurial risk-taking was clearly starting to wear on their relationship, to wear on their finances. And most recently, their second child, a daughter, was born, and
that'll add some stress, won't it?
Yeah, and you know what? The husband has taken a paycheck job, and never quite realized that entrepreneurial dream that he was seeking. But it took the wife, his partner, to really lose her patience, and their marriage was very much at risk, and neither of them had intended to put their marriage at risk for these entrepreneurial goals. But they stopped having those meetings to get back on the same page about their values. And the husband just presumed that all of the enthusiasm that existed 5, 8, 10 years ago for support of his entrepreneurial ventures still remained in place, because that goal was so clear 10 years ago.
Yeah.
And when the wife was feeling, well, when are these other goals? When is starting a family? When is my leaving the workforce? When are these other goals going to become our first priority? And some of them just started happening and started taking control. And you know, Donna Maria, children have a way of becoming the first priority, whether you explicitly sit down and announce their position in the family or not.
Yeah, but I can see where you're talking about, though, because whether you have no children or one children or 10 children, the family goals, at least the main ones as where finances are concerned, the specifics will change, right? But the overall dynamic is static, in the sense that security is going to be necessary. Whether you have a lot of money or a little bit of money, you're still going to have to provide for yourself.
That's exactly right.
And so when you talk with couples who have this entrepreneurial thing going on, it sounds like the one you just described, they kind of had to put their cards on the table in a little bit of a different order. And it isn't the great thing that as long as they're, alive and kicking, their children will eventually be gone.
Yeah.
And so he'll have an opportunity to pursue those things, when the demands that they present are not as prevalent.
Exactly right. And, again, they didn't handle coming to that reprioritization. And I think, Donna Maria, you bring up a wonderful point, which is sometimes the compromise on prioritization is changing the time frames. And one of the reasons, that the writing things down and putting things on a list becomes powerful, too, is that the goal that's been deprioritized for now is still acknowledged, that it's not. You don't ever need to say to the husband here, cross off that dream.
Forever.
You got your time. It didn't work. we're done with it. Mm-hmm. Instead, what we're saying is, let's think about this in a different time frame. The child thing often has time constraints to it that entrepreneurialism doesn't.
Right, right, right. Well, let's talk for a second then. We've covered the importance of setting the goals and writing them down. Let's talk for a second about isolating the decisions. Does this mean isolating and identifying the decisions that need to be made in order to reach the goals that you've identified?
Yes, and we use isolating decision in different ways, in that one of the things that when I was mentioning this process working for the couples we find who are successful in getting to their goals, whatever those goals, however personal they may be, making sure you're making the right decision, that we're going to sit down and we're going to say, what if we do this and what if we do that? Make sure you're talking on the same page about the same decision.
Mm-hmm.
We often find that one partner in a couple is solving one problem, the other thinks they're solving a second problem, and they're not being explicit about which one they're working on.
Okay.
And isolating and being clear, saying, all right, right now we're working on how could we get cash flow to allow you to be entrepreneurial for another 18 months. And your focus on that, the variable there is cash to cover living expenses for 18 months.
Right.
And it isn't any other factor. We're often human minds working simultaneously on lots of different variables. Try to give yourself a break and let yourself say, all right, if the essence of the problem is how do we pay our mortgage for 18 months, focus on that.
Well, we're going to go quickly to our second break, Mary Claire.
And absolutely.
This is the Lifestyle CEO Show. We'll be right back.
Want to stay on top of what's new in the radio industry? Sign up for a free subscription to the Future of Talk Radio, available exclusively to listeners of globaltalkradio.com, and find out what's new in the world of online radio. Listeners can find out about new shows and special guests. People with something special to offer can find out how to become a guest and how to prepare for an interview. And prospective hosts will find a valuable resource for everything from planning their new program to selecting topics and guests, recouping expenses by selling advertising, and more. Sign up today for your free subscription to the Future of Talk Radio by visiting www.globaltalkradio.com and learn about the future of talk radio today.
In our book, we had a wonderful couple share a story of literally weeks before their wedding, the bride was laid off.
Oh, my goodness.
And not only was that devastating, but she had been promised a bonus that she was planning to use to cover the wedding. You know, there was no bonus to pay for the wedding, and they quickly came together and said, we need to talk about how we're going to get through this crisis. And a crisis can be actually an extraordinary experience as a partnership in helping to get through the, and understand the step, Donna Maria, that you and I were talking about, which is isolating the decision. And their very clear decision was, do we call off this wedding? Can we pay for this wedding that we had planned and thought we could cover? And what they did, which fits into the process that you can learn from a crisis and then apply to a variety of decision-making, financial decision-making processes, particularly when you're entrepreneurial, which is saying, okay, if the essence is, how do we pay for this wedding? What we need to do is always have a good handle on what do we own and what do we owe. And a business always keeps a balance sheet that lists, this is what we own, and this is what we owe. But couples
that's one of the chapters in your book, a really great example of a family balance sheet. I love that.
Well, and you know, if families had a balance sheet handy at any given time, it helps with this. You've isolated a decision. How do we get the cash? Should we cover this wedding? And they can sit down together in one place. And this doesn't mean everything has to be titled jointly, because there are lots of reasons that people keep assets in separate names.
Mm-hmm.
But you've got to think about your partnership jointly when you're making joint decisions. You sit
right.
down and you say, what are our resources? And then they want to add on to that, of those resources, where else do we need cash to support our lifestyle?
Mm-hmm.
Then they can come back to the decision that they're trying to make, and whether it's whether to cover a wedding, whether to take the step into entrepreneurialism, hire an employee, take out mm-hmm. office space, those fixed costs that really mm-hmm. are the big step in running a business.
Mm-hmm.
You need to have a terrific sense of being able to look at a balance sheet and see, those are the resources available to us.
Mm-hmm. And so all this is kind of moving also into step three, which is the brainstorming and research process.
You got it. Well, and out of that, and again, in the entrepreneurial world, let's talk about this, you know, should I get physical office space? That tends to be one of those big steps. If you commit to office space, you often have to sign a longer-term lease, right?
Mm-hmm.
Should I take that on? And the research is everything for, well, what are the variable costs? Could I use one of those shared office spaces? Do I need a physical space of my own? Do I need to commit for a year, for 5 years, for 10 years? What does office space demand? Making sure that you have all of those factors in front of you. And then we throw in there, on top of research, you've really got to brainstorm, because this is where you can avoid the trap of locking yourself into, I have to have office space because I'm starting my business.
Mm-hmm.
And pulling back, and whether you're getting ideas from other people, talking about it, researching things, but you know, you'd be amazed the number of businesses that have a couple of offices that they're not currently using, mm-hmm. on a month-to-month basis,
mm-hmm.
like to share some of the rent. That's the brainstorming. In your personal financial life, you know, I have couples who actually have rented out a garden apartment, bought a home with a garden apartment that they could rent out, thought broadly about decisions like buying a home, trying not to get trapped into, I've got to do things the way my parents did them, I've got to do things the way my neighbors do them. I've got to think what is right for us in relation to that number one step, which is our goals.
Right. Right. And so you know, Mary Claire, I'm looking, I know we're going to talk about the cash flow forecast, but let me ask you another question, because you're describing some very necessary steps. But how realistic is it for, let's just say we've got a couple that's already got a couple of kids, and they're just, you know, sometimes your life can just be total chaos if this kind of information does not get to you early on.
Yeah.
What kind of, I mean, is it really realistic for people to sit down and do a balance sheet and put their cards on the table, and, you know, when you know, they're not even getting sleep at night because they got two kids who are just demanding everything?
Well, I would say, it you know, it's not only possible, but it's mandatory.
Okay.
I really...
You have no choice, then.
You have no choice. I can't emphasize enough, one of the things that we really wanted in telling the stories of the couples in our book of the Family CFO was to say we weren't looking for a preset who followed these steps. What we were trying to find were couples who were successfully getting to whatever goals they defined.
Mm-hmm.
These are the couples where you always sit there and you sort of say, now how did they manage to start a business, get out of debt, send their kids to private school, retire early? You sit there and you always wonder, how did they do that?
Mm-hmm.
We started asking them that intimate question, how did you do that?
Mm-hmm.
And we found a pattern among those couples, which is they got together on their goals explicitly. They sat down with real balance sheets. On the cash flow side, they knew what their life demanded every month. And then they built their decisions around that knowledge base. The couples who got themselves into trouble, again, sometimes they earned a lot more money. Sometimes they had a lot more assets.
Mm-hmm.
But inevitably, you turn around and they They couldn't figure out how to retire. They couldn't pay for their kids to go to college. There was something they could never get around to doing that they always thought that they wanted to do, but they didn't make the time to stand back and go through these steps.
And there's so much, I guess, that you can lose. I want to let you guys know that we're talking to Mary Claire Alvine, author of The Family CFO, The Couple's Business Plan for Love and Money. You can call your question or comment in to Mary Claire at 800-773-0355. And let me also mention that you can get more information about Mary Claire and this book, as well as another book she has written, co-authored with Christine Larson, called The 7 Most Important Money Decisions You'll Ever Make, What Happy Couples Do to Achieve Their Dreams. There's a whole nother show for you. That's available at the-family-cfo.com. That's Mary Claire's website. So, Mary Claire, what commitment? I mean, the word commitment comes to mind over and over again as you're talking, because, yeah, we can all write our goals down. We can, you know, brainstorm and research and be creative and understand the background of our industry and how to be successful. But if both people are going to do this, they have to make certain commitments, particularly if you have children. Do you find that that is a source of struggle for some people, just committing to even just something as simple as a schedule, like, okay, you'll work the business for this number of hours a week, and I will entertain the children and take care of all those kinds of duties. Do you find that that interplay is sometimes a struggle because people just have a hard time committing to certain things?
You know, I love your word commitment, and I wish we used it more often in our books, which, by the way, you can get them through our website, but you can also always go to Amazon.com and look for them.
Right. Right. And notice that your website has linked to Amazon. And by the way, you guys, you can also read book excerpts there. That's always handy.
It's always fun. It's always fun. But, you know, the commitment word, I think, is extraordinary because it takes us back to this link between business and family life, that your marriage is the ultimate commitment you've made. And your business becomes a commitment, too, in the same emotional, financial way a marriage is.
Well, particularly if you want your business to do things like pay the mortgage and put your kids through college. I mean,
Absolutely.
That's a commitment.
Absolutely, and it is the ultimate commitment. And in following that parallel through, you were asking about, you know, is it a struggle sometimes to get couples on the same page? And I would say when you are on the same page in terms of those goals and values, why it's so important to spend the time on the upfront on that, the follow-through on the commitment is almost easy.
When
the couples are on the same page.
Yeah, once you've identified why you're doing it.
You've got it. When you're certain your partner feels the same way, you have that energy and commitment because you have that inherent knowledge. Your partner has that energy and commitment. And it goes back to, you know, we were teasing him early, and, you know, how do you juggle lots of things in your life? Well, don't do a darn thing you don't love.
Right.
And when you have that passion, your partner has the passion, the trade-offs you need to make, whether your ship's passing in the night, leaving post-it notes for each other, as one of you is manning the business and the other is at home, and how you're juggling that. When you're on the same page, it flows together and energy comes out of it. We do also find, and Donna Maria, you see this with entrepreneurial couples, and I see this in other aspects of couples' financial lives, that the potholes that couples hit oftentimes do signal bigger problems, that you're going to have trouble getting on the same page if there are bigger issues. And I can't solve that, and you can't solve that, if ultimately there are problems in the partnership. A business will exacerbate them.
Debt will
make them worse.
Yeah.
Children will make them worse. we can't solve. Good relationships thrive starting a business. Good relationships thrive pursuing joint financial goals. If there are problems with the relationship, you're going to see it in the money. You're going to see it in the business.
Right, right. Yeah, I can only imagine that. And it's just all the more reason for young couples and not so young couples, anybody in a relationship with someone else or living together and pursuing goals together, to get a copy of this book as well as your other book. You know, what you're talking about brings to mind part of an interview I saw yesterday on television with Annie Leibovitz, the photographer who's known for taking pictures of famous people, and she talked a lot about her life, and her work is now on display at New York's Brooklyn Museum. But one of the things she talked about was, I think they asked a question about her work, and I can't remember what the question was, but it had something to do with what the interviewer described as her work. And she said, well, you know, I guess you could call it work, but all my life I've just done what I like to do. It just so happens that I've been able to earn a living at this. And I thought what you just described was the interplay between work and family, because, of course, she's a mother, too, became a mother for the first time at age 51.
Ah,
so, of twins, too. I think they were twins. But the idea that you just described is, what she's been able to do through a passion and coupling it with what you describe, maybe she's read your book, but being able to sit down with your partner and pursue this business together, but at the same time be on the same page with certain goals and family things, and being able to work all those things out so that you do have that kind of harmony and successful interplay between all those areas. And don't you think, Mary Claire, that more people need to understand that that's possible because of things you talked about earlier, like layoffs and job security not being what it used to be, if it ever existed?
Well, you know, it also leads me, though, back around to Donna Maria. We were talking about, you know, what are some of the tips I've learned from couples that other couples might benefit from?
Mm-hmm.
And one of the most powerful tips that we have ever found in talking with couples, and this is absolutely true from the personal finance to the entrepreneurial world, which is find mentors. Go out there and find other couples who did things, got through bad times, got through, be it layoffs, starting a business, having children, and start a money conversation with them. Don't ask them, how much money did you make? How much money do you have? Those are
right.
the offensive questions, right?
Right.
How did you do it when your children were young? How did you stay on the same page?
Mm-hmm.
How were you able to retire early? How were you able to make the sacrifices to start a business? It's absolutely the most powerful and underutilized tool available to couples and to entrepreneurs.
Mm-hmm. Well, that's a great suggestion, and certainly your book has some information and some helpful sort of vignettes of how other couples have done it, the good, the bad, the ugly, and how they've worked through some of those issues. So thank you for that. I want to make sure that you guys remember that you can visit Mary Claire Alvine's website at the-family-cfo.com, where you can read an excerpt from her latest book, and also link through to Amazon.com to make a purchase, and also this book that we're talking about today, The Family CFO, The Couple's Business Plan for Love and Money. Mary Claire, what thought can you leave my entrepreneurial listeners out there that can help empower them, just a quick thought to empower them about being successful in their business with their life partner?
We really find that there is a romantic energy out of good finances, and it just sounds too good to be true, but money is a tool to follow your dreams. If your dreams are moving ahead, you're on the same page in that pursuit of life, the money will be part of that process, and the excitement will keep what we call the romance and finance.
Mm-hmm. The romance and finance. So one is interrelated, directly related with the other. Well, we're going to keep that in mind, and I know this has inspired me to do a better job of working with my husband to make sure that we're on the same pages financially and business-wise. And you guys, you know, you can do it. What Mary Claire said, I'm going to take her at her word that, you know, sitting down and doing this is not just helpful, but it's mandatory. And thank you for sharing that with us today, Mary Claire.
Well, Donna Maria, I think someday you should tell some of your own entrepreneurial stories, and I'm certain that you have, but on the sacrifices and trade-offs you've made. And I know a little of them, and they fit into what we see in very successful couples.
Yeah, well, I tell you, it's a challenge, but the payoff is fantastic to have this kind of autonomy. Thank you for joining me on the show today, Mary Claire.
Thank you so much for having me.
Yeah, so next week, you guys, we've got Kathy Marshak, the author of Entrepreneurial Couples. This is a great book to give you some solutions for having a successful business and encountering long-term growth and joy in your family's bottom line, both financially as well as a unit. So that's Kathy Marshak next week here on the Lifestyle CEO Show. See you then. In the meantime, get out there and break all the rules, build your own corporate ladder, and create the life you love. See you next week.
Bye-bye.
You're listening to GlobalTalkRadio.com.